This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode with a very interesting guest today. We have the people, the founders of Fitness CFO. So we're going to explain what that is, but essentially how we found them is through MPE, obviously our business coaches. They use this service with some of their clients, their coaching clients. And I think it's a very necessary service. So this episode, look, I'll just tell you ahead of time, some of the subject matter in this episode, it's a little bit dry, right? We're talking about numbers, we're talking about accounting, we're talking about cash flow forecasting. But this is the thing, this is why you probably avoid these important conversations, is because they're so boring. But it doesn't mean that obviously we didn't make this episode as fun as we could. But I think there's a lot of information in this episode that a lot of people don't know about, that definitely a lot of people, gym owners, need to hear. I know a younger, more naive version of me listening to this right now definitely avoided the hard conversations around cash flow, around savings, around projections, around taxes. We cover all that today. So really, Fitness CFO, this company, amazing company. They work with gyms in Australia and gyms overseas as well to help kind of minimize tax bills, where to put money, how to save money, how to be more profitable, some of the big mistakes that startups make when managing their cash, some of the mistakes that people, you know, make when they're trying to grow to multi-site locations like us, when they're trying to, you know, become million-dollar businesses. These are all stepping stones that require good money management. And this company really works side by side, hand in hand with gyms, and knows the problems that gyms face, knows the industry really well. Helps gyms grow towards whatever their goals might be, whether it's just one really profitable site or it's multiple sites, maybe you're taking over the world, who knows, whatever it is, you need people like this working for you in your corner.
Yeah, it's just people that are specific to gyms.
Yep.
You know, they know that gyms have a particular, you know, gym finances are really different to restaurant finances.
Yep.
Because you're not just waiting for people to come in, you know, you've got recurring revenue. So they know that well. And rather than just, you know, do your taxes from last year, which is most accountants do, they just help you look ahead into the future and make decisions moving forward. So it's fun chat for us. If you run a business, this one is for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, guys, we mentioned two companies. So, firstly, fitnesscfo.com.au. There's going to be like a pop-up, a link on that website if you're interested. And it's a Mind Muscle Project link and pop-up. You'll see it straight away when you land there. Click that. They have an offer for you guys, which I think, as I mentioned, will be really helpful for some of the businesses that hear this stuff today and think, you know, I need to at least inquire about this. I need to know if my accountant's even legit. Is my accountant screwing me over? Am I on the right path? Is there stuff that I'm missing here? Am I not managing my cash well? So check that out, fitnesscfo.com.au. Find the My Muscle Project link when you get there. And then, of course, we found these people through our most trusted business coaching platform, MPE. So mpefitness.com, if you guys want to check that out, that is where you can get business coaching. That is where you can inquire about business coaching at all stages of business. So they have price points, groups, different curriculum based off where you are in your business journey. So you are not in a group when someone's talking about how to go from 5 to 10 locations if you're just starting out as a PT and you're trying to make money online for the first time. So plenty of stuff there that you guys can check out, mpfitness.com. And the team there is amazing, and they'll have a chat to you. Okay, let's get into this show. It's been a long-winded chat for me. But yeah, here we are with Fitness CFO. Cool. All right, My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode. Today for In The Black, we have on some special guests, actually, a connection through MPE, obviously our business coaches. We have Brent and Alice on today. Brent and Alice, why don't you, I'll butcher it, I'll do a bad job. Why don't you guys give us a little bit of a spiel and intro as to what you guys do and your company?
All right. So the business, Fitness CFO, formed organically about 18 months ago. Alice, which she's a little bit shy at the moment, but she did a fantastic job. So she started her business, Gold Coast Tax and Tax Strategies Australia, which was your conventional accounting firm dealing with small to medium businesses across multiple verticals in Australia, and had a few health and fitness businesses approach her independently and organically and start to sort of talk about some of their concerns, some of their questions and where they were going. And so Alice noticed that there was some data that was in relation to the businesses and where they were going and issues they were having, and started to notice that that there was definitely an opportunity there to put it together and start to formulate a strategy. So she went from there, and 18 months later, Fitness CFO has been born. We've got a good number of clients now, ranging from independent operators through to F45 that have single site up to multi-site, and some gyms as well. Some of them are franchises, some of them are independent. So we've got a good mix of customers, and we're really enjoying them, watching them grow.
Yeah, awesome. And so technically, what is your guys' qualifications? Are you like chartered accountants, or I don't know, financial officers? I don't know what these titles are in that industry, but what is the technical qualifications?
So I'm registered tax agent and a limited license in financial planning. Registered with the IPA, so that's the Institute of Professional Public Accountants, and have been a registered tax agent for about 12 years now. So the business has been around for a long time, and really just started myself, grew it organically, just loved helping people, loved seeing their businesses grow, loved seeing them, you know, build those communities and do what they do really well. I find that I can do what I do really well. I can help people. I can, you know, really minimize their tax. I can show them how to actually grow their business from a small, tiny little probably image or imagination from their mind to a big, big business. So it's really fulfilling. Yeah, it's really
good. Yeah, awesome. No, that's great. Now, I'll speak for us first, but, you know, accounting is obviously something you know you need to do, but you have very limited experience going into it, aside from using maybe your family's personal account to do your tax return or whatever. But most people don't really do it like their companies do it for them, right? So it's a lot of it's taken off the table for them. It's not until they open their own business they realize that obviously accounting is a huge part of it. And we didn't realize until, you know, we started getting some really good accountants that help you actually make financial moves rather than just be, I guess, reactive to what you want. They actually become proactive and work with you. And there's actually a really big difference. What have you noticed with working with gyms that maybe is unique to the industry that are like, at least in the startup sort of stages, the first kind of 1 to 2 years of business, the kind of like common mistakes that they're making with their finances and with their accounting?
I think the biggest thing is that they think they can do everything, and that they don't understand that they can actually be making better decisions and they can be making better choices if they do get some professional help. You can make really good choices if you have up-to-date data even, or, you know what your members are. One of the biggest things is that they don't know where they want to go. So they don't have that strategic roadmap of, you know, I'm here at the moment, but I want to be over here. How do I get there? And it's too big for them to even comprehend. There's too many pain points in there.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh no, I can't do that. And so what we found is that we can break it down into manageable milestones, and they go, oh, that's okay. I can go and do that then. You know, it's not so daunting for them.
Mm.
As you said there, from the concept of the business from the start of really identifying who you are, because we typically see two types of business owners. So we'll see someone who's customer centric and someone who's business centric. So really identifying which one of those categories you fall into from the start and building a strategy around that. So if you're business centric, then typically you're going to be behind the scenes. So it's going to be imperative that you've got a really strong manager there that has that customer focus, that has that selling ability, and is able to draw people in from the, you know, from a trial into a fully paid long-term customer. And then if you're the customer centric side, and if you're really good at working that culture and that experience within the business there, then having people like us in the background to be able to manage those things and setting up structures once again from it. So I think that the identification of being really honest about what your skills are and what you want to achieve and building a team around it from the onset will really set you up for success.
And at what point do you think, obviously, because like businesses, gyms especially, you know, when they're small, they have limited resources to spend with extra services like managing their money. And they're tossing up, okay, if I end up at the end of the day with my own salary, some leftover profits, looking at repairing some equipment, that sort of thing. You know, getting a good accountant or getting like financial help's obviously like one of the last things they're thinking about, which is, I mean, if they thought about it first, they probably have more money and they wouldn't be in this situation. But that is generally what happens. They don't want to make that investment yet. Like you said, they think they can handle it themselves. At what point do you think is like the right time with the limited resources for someone to like start investing in financial help and like how to manage their profits and how to offset tax and all that sort of stuff?
Well, I think to give an indication of sort of how we work, I think that the mindset that you're conveying there would potentially be that it would be an additional cost on top of their runnings as it is. But what we've done is we've stripped it out and we've turned around and said, well, there's a whole lot of things that this client's going to need over the space of a year. And in between in those gaps there's going to be a lot of opportunities where they're going to have questions around, you know, at the moment around JobKeeper or potentially around, you know, maybe the lease of a car or, you know, do I go buy more equipment or do I lease equipment and those types of things. And so what we've really worked to do is to say, how far can we stretch our value to make sure that we can provide as much as we can to the customer, but without them having to look at it as an additional cost. So rather than looking at something like a business coach or an additional consultant, we wrap our structure up in the compliance and the stuff that we have to do for our client over the space of a year. So in the instance there, for someone, if they're in that conception stage of the business, or they might be at anywhere along in the, you know, in that timeline, we're able to give the guidance and the advice without an additional cost. So I suppose for them, it's basically nothing extra than what they'd be currently paying with their accountant at the moment.
Mm. So yeah. So what, I guess some people don't know that, you know, accountants can do other things besides just do your tax return. So what's like kind of the bare minimum you think most accountants are doing for most gym owners? And then like, what is all the additional stuff that they can do they didn't realize their accountant can do?
Well, I think a lot of people don't even understand their financial statements. They don't understand how to read them. You know, that just explaining that in itself is a really beneficial tool. They don't understand, you know, how much it actually costs to get those other members. And I think just a standard accountant, you know, does the compliance, will do your BAS, will do your tax return. They'll look at data that's 12 months ago. They won't look at what's going on in your business right now. A normal accountant will just do your tax return. Half the time they don't even care. They just get the numbers, get it in, get it out. Whereas, you know, we would actually sit down and have a look and see how we can actually minimize that tax from the past, but also moving forward, you know, how can we grow this business? You know, there's cash flows, you know, how much, you know, at what point do you decide to open another site? You know, so you would have to have your member reach at a certain point, and to know what your expenses are underneath that, it gives you valuable insight to your business and the business runnings. I think that is one of the key points of what we do, I suppose. You know, even breaking down those expenses and benchmarking them against the industry average or some data that we've got, so we can see that you know, this gym might over here might be 10% up in wages. Well, then we need to go back to them and say, why, you know, why is that happening? Why is that so? It's just all key points that will actually help them grow their business, and essentially that's what we want to do. What else do we do? We give them back their time. Their time is really valuable in their community and in their space and in their gym. We're able to take all those daily, you know, mundane things away from them that they don't even want to know about anyway. And I'm talking about all your bookkeeping and your payroll and all those kinds of compliance issues. But I think, they're the two things.
I think Alice has nailed it there. And I think that the thing that's worth mentioning is that within accounting, there's two primary theories. So there's one that looks at everything that's happening today and everything back into the past. And there's one that takes today into account and then looks at the future. So to look into the future, you need to theorize, because we're making assumptions based upon things that will happen in the environment, things that will happen in the economy, and those types of things. So in instance, if you say that that type of mindset there aligns with a personal trainer isn't going to turn around and say, and get to a certain point with their client and say, well, you should have done this, this, and this. They're getting back at the very start and they're saying, okay, let's do this, this, and this to get to that point there. So in accounting, unfortunately, the way that they work in terms of compliance, and they are sort of somewhat conservative in nature, they'll look at everything that's happened today and take it back in the past, which isn't really any good for a business that's looking today and looking into the future. So that's where that CFO encompasses that forward planning nature, and almost a lot aligns with the mindset of a PT, of getting a person from where they are today to where they want to be in the future.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, pretty much any decision you want to make as a business, you end up like thinking about it and you go back and look at the numbers, and that tries to inform your decision. And that's like all the big ones, like, you know, hiring new staff, opening new gyms, changing the model of the business. So it's, I mean, if one gym's doing it right, one gym's doing it poorly, like the gym doing it right is going to overtake you very, very quickly.
Hmm. So maybe what would be helpful for people listening is, can you give us an example of a client you've worked with and like some of the stages of growth, maybe someone that you took from like pretty early startup to through to maybe multi-sites or a lot bigger in terms of revenue. And I'm obviously you don't have to use the name, but can you like kind of maybe just walk people through the process of the different stages they had to go through and some of the decisions they had to make and some of the mistakes they made? And I think it'll kind of give people an idea, because obviously everyone listening to this is at different stages of business, but it'd be cool to kind of talk us through a bit of a journey of maybe some of your multi-year clients.
I think we've got someone that opened their doors 2 weeks before COVID started.
Oh, wow.
And I think that
lucky boy.
Really great timing.
Because, you know, in terms of the perfect storm of the worst time to open, it would quite possibly be it. And they are well and truly on their feet. They are running and they're looking forward. And I think Alice is probably the best person to tell that story, because it was her magic that made it happen.
Yeah. Okay, so I had a client come to me and really wanted to open a gym. Won't use any names, of course.
Yeah.
Really scared. Thought that they couldn't do it. Thought that it was beyond them. That it was a big decision, a big step forward. You've got commercial rent you've got to take into account. You know, you've got to pay wages. You've got people's livelihoods. And it was really intimidating. And she felt very scared to actually move forward in this journey. What we did is we sat her down and we mapped out a cash flow forecast of what would actually happen when she hit this many numbers or members, what would happen when she hit this many members, and moved it forward and stepped it up so she could actually see that moving forward, this is a good business, it is profitable, and, you know, the members that she had, it was already halfway to the point that she needed. She actually went away from that feeling empowered, and feeling that, all the uncertainties were taken out of her decisions, and it was a good business decision. All she needed was to get this many numbers, and she knew how to get that many numbers to open her doors. So this is a lady that hadn't opened yet, and was new to business, had no idea about business whatsoever. And taking away that fear and making it certain by mapping it out so she can actually see the stages that she would actually be in. You know, there's also things like she had to get funding for it. Unfortunately, she got the funding before she'd come to us. So the funding was high interest. These are some of the mistakes that people make. You know, they don't go and see their accountant, and they don't go and try and find the best actual way to fund a new business. So it's a good idea to go and see your accountant when you start up, if you're going to. And she just went in leaps and bounds. From there was staffing issues involved. We helped her with, she had the she hired the people, obviously, but we helped her decide, you know, and shown her what industry to actually
with the rates and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, what is that? What is
yeah,
that
with,
called?
The, with their pay schedules and those.
You know, on unfair work.
Oh, like award rates, like a minimum wage.
Yeah,
I think.
Award rates.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Who's the real accountant here?
Yeah.
We showed her which award to follow, you know, and all the overtime rates and what it was going to cost her for her to open her gym, which made it really clear to her that she could actually do this. So she went away from that meeting, first of all, coming in going, I'm not going to do it, no. And then we really mapped it out and showed her that it was possible and she just needed those member numbers to actually succeed. It's been ongoing now. And, yeah, she did actually, unfortunately, open just before COVID, which was not ideal, obviously. But funnily enough, through COVID, she kept her members and she opened up with the same amount of member numbers because her community was really strong. So she focused on what she actually did best, being bringing that community together. And we focused on what we did best and worked side by side with her. And it really makes a big difference.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
She was honest about her strengths and her weaknesses as well. It's like it really is one thing to turn around, you know, from let's just use the fitness analogy again, and for somebody that's completely out of shape to turn around and say, well, I'm gonna turn my life around, and they might start by going to the shop and maybe buying some dumbbells and stuff, and then they might sit there and collect dust. Then they might go to YouTube and they'll get motivated for a short period of time, but eventually they'll come and see some people like yourselves. Because they'll realise that it's that little bit of extra motivation, that little bit of inside knowledge, and just that consistent touch point that will get them to where they want to go. And it's a similar thing with us of really stripping back our clients and saying, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Where do you want to go? And let's take all of those things that aren't your strengths and aren't your passions, and let's get somebody else to do them, because the time that you're putting back into those things that you really love, the culture and the community in your business, it's what's going to drive leads, it's what's going to drive referrals, and at the end of the day, it's what's going to see your bank account looking healthy, and that's most important.
Yeah, I also think just the clarity that it sounds like you gave her in the story is will make a huge difference,
because
all of a sudden it's like so much chaos and it's just like shit everywhere, particularly in a year like 2020, and then you just give them a bit of clarity, like, no, it's going to be good, get here, and you'll make it work, and then she can just go and execute every single day, and she knows where she's heading.
Yeah, I think the opening is also so key, right? Knowing when you open, these are going to be your costs. There's so many gym owners that open, they think, all right, cool, rent, staff.
Might need power.
Maybe
tax. Need power. Won't need the water.
Equipment, and my supplements, and that's it.
This equipment will never break.
Yeah, they forget all the stuff you just mentioned, and I think when you know more, you have more peace of mind.
Yeah, put it like, just be honest with yourself. Put it down on paper, like list basically. Like in my head right now, I'm thinking about this, the person that we're talking about, their P&L and all, and basically everything that sits in it. And there were some instances for her where we felt that she was spending too much on promotions. And so we said, okay, let's strip it back and really let's have a look and see the benefit that you're generating from these promotions. And from there, once you can strip it back and you see actually seeing what you're making, it makes it very transparent about what you can allocate to these things, where you can start to turn it into something that is going to be profitable, rather than a speculative type thing where you're hoping that these members are going to transition into fully paying members. But building out those structures from the start, being really honest with yourself, and just documenting it. If you don't want to get someone to do it, at least be honest with yourself and understand your position.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so and when gyms get to, so we just obviously talked about some pretty early stage startup gyms. Gyms that are in the later stage that have had an accountant or had multiple accountants, multi-sites, millions of dollars in revenue. Is it like how much of the principles that kind of we're talking about with this startup stage, how much do they apply to these bigger gyms?
It's kind of like how long is a piece of string, I suppose. Like, it depends on their structure from the start. So I mean, if they're a business that's just having these independent businesses there, then obviously their structure is going to be different to what you see in the F45 chain, where you'll see a corporate group come in and take a number of them. So there's a bit of difference there, but I think that the foundation and the grassroots will stay the same. You know, you're always going to have a manager that's going to manage that place there. So you know, you build a structure accordingly and so on. So it's not really so much cookie cutter from us. I think that what we probably see is a bit of a mix, and it's a tough one. That's a really good question actually, because it is just it's so diverse.
So different.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is. I mean, you've got the same issues and the same problems. It's just on a much bigger volume. You know, you've got more sites. You've got more. More sites, more members, more people to like staff members or team members. You know, you've got to run those classes. So I think the key would be having, you know, a fantastic manager in place from the start. That obviously will alleviate so many problems, you know, because the whole foundation of building this gym is the journey of being in there as a gym member. It's not so much, you know, because I mean, if you can't keep those members, then you don't have a gym. Mm. So it's about looking at it from the top down and having a look at the culture that you're building in that. As long as you retain that on multiple sites on multiple levels, it doesn't matter how many managers you've got in place. It's really that communication that keeps that gym tight.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think probably one of the biggest challenges that multi-site operators tend to come across is the variance in the demographics from suburb to suburb. So I mean, like, you know, we're on the Gold Coast and you guys are in Sydney, and I grew up down in Cronulla, so I'm familiar with the geographic lay. And so if you took, for instance, say clients that were going to Bondi and maybe Mossman, in contrast to people that were out in maybe Picton or Baulkham Hills or somewhere around there. So for a business operator that had a site maybe in each of those locations, it's going to be very different. You know, you're going to have a different price point. Probably the age, the interest of the people that you're going there, and also the language that you're going to have to speak to these people when you're trying to drive them in through your sales funnel at the same time is going to be very different.
Mm,
so yeah, unfortunately, from what we see, there's no cookie cutter. And I think in a perfect world, if you could sort of align your multi-sites with, you know, that same audience, it would probably be a lot easier to sort of streamline processes and systems.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it makes sense. Yeah, but as it gets bigger, the monster gets bigger, you want to have, I guess, more of a custom plan suited to what you want to do. So last sort of thing I wanted to touch on was the owner's pay. Now, this is obviously something in serious contention with what some people like to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, what we've realized is gyms, what it comes down to is how much you take home. I don't care how much revenue you make, how much you're actually putting in your pocket at the end of the day. So what is your advice to owners at different stages to how much they pay themselves? Because obviously there's sort of a minimum to get by, but then, you know, is it just depending on what the owner wants in terms of, hey, I'm happy to take, you know, $65,000 a year forever, no matter how big the company is, because I don't need much? Or do you recommend that they take a percentage, or how do you kind of weave that in with owner's pay?
Well, it depends on what stage they are in their business as well. I mean, you would get a totally different answer if you've got one PT working out of the boot of his car as opposed to someone with two sites. So unfortunately, you know, it comes down to tax planning as well. So that's a big key factor when it's taking, you know, owner's wages. You also want to make sure that you can actually pay yourself that wage, you know, that you have that money in the bank. And so, I mean, that's the driving force as well. You could say, oh, I want 80,000, but if you've only got 60 in the bank, you can't take more than you've got. So from my point of view, or an accountant's point of view, tax planning would come into it a lot with how much you can actually take out of that business. And that comes back to that cash flow forecasting as well. That would give you a good indication how much cash you've got left over that you can actually physically take out as a wage. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is thinking that, you know, that they have, that they start this business, but then they can't actually take a wage. So they're not actually, they don't actually have a business. You know, they've just got, it's just a an employee working for a business, because they're not generating anything unless they can actually, the business owner can step away from that business, then they've got a true business. You know, if they can put a manager in place to manage that business and they start actually drawing back a wage from it, that's when they've technically got a business. They've got something that's saleable.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And your question is a really good question, but it's one of those things, and like we were talking about before we got in here, about how NPE and Sean sort of steps away from giving that specific financial and that accounting advice. And so for us to be able to answer your question right now, it comes back to that sort of how long is a piece of string, because it's like first of all, as Alice said, we don't understand where they're at in their customer journey. We don't know how, you know, their liquidity. And at the same time as well, being a small business owner, in contrast to being an employee, there's a huge gray area as well. So it starts asking questions of vehicles and those types of things, for instance. You know, are you putting your hand in your pocket to pay for that personally, or is it something that's coming out through the business? And then once again, you know, it's going to be depending on structure and cash flow and those types of things. So to get the best at, for a customer in relation to your question there, it's going to be based on individual circumstances, and that's when we really just open everything up, flesh it out, and figure out what's going to be best for them to get them on their journey.
Yeah, awesome. And then just more generally, do you find most gym owners, depending on whatever stage you're at, or regardless, I mean, do they overpay themselves or do they underpay themselves?
Generally, they underpay themselves. You know, most gym owners that I know start at 4:30 in the morning and they don't go home until the last class leaves.
Yeah.
Because it's their baby, it's their thing. And it is really hard for them to give that that power away to someone else. Underpay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mean regardless of whatever number they're paying themselves, it's just not enough for the amount of effort they're putting in.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's definitely a hard trap to get out of. Okay, awesome. So you mentioned the company name a few times, but guys, tell us exactly how it works, how gyms can get involved in, you know, kind of, again, the services that you offer, and I guess a good result that a client would expect if they were to come work for you guys. Work with you guys.
Okay, so we're fitness CFO, and typically accounting works in two places. They look at the present backwards or the present into the future. A CFO is much like a personal trainer. They're saying, where do you want to get to? Where are you now? And let's put the steps in place to help you get there. In essence, that's what we do. Along with it, we do all the boring stuff. So all of you, your BAS, your GST, your company tax returns, your individual tax returns, and then we get into the fun stuff of tax minimization and advisory. We get a kick out of helping people. We only succeed if you succeed. So we're driven by your success.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, definitely having someone looking after your finances in your corner that is an expert in helping others, like, invaluable.
Yeah.
So important. It's the most important thing, right?
Yeah, man. It's like, if you struggle with your weight and you got someone checking what you're eating every day.
Yeah.
Like, it helps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super helpful.
It's just like you said there. So, you know, when you're speaking to a client, you're thinking about another 20 or 30 clients that have had a similar experience.
Totally.
Yeah.
Being able to create a positive outcome. It's the same thing for us. We're able to draw on a vast number of businesses that are having the same issues as a gym owner of what you're having there. So we're able to take those understandings and implement into your business and create a positive outcome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, it's definitely something that's needed in the industry. So it's cool to have something specific for gyms and for us. So is it at the moment only Australian businesses, I would assume, that are, or Australian gyms that can work with you guys? I imagine you don't help gyms in the US, different tax laws, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there is, but we do work with Canadian and US accountants, so we can work for more of the CFO function. And work side alongside the other accountants in the other countries, so that's not a problem.
Yeah, awesome. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you sharing some of those insights. Obviously, some of it's some pretty technical stuff, and probably some things that gym owners are not thinking about, which absolutely critical to driving business growth and the next stages of business. And yeah, definitely appreciate the work you guys are doing to help our industry. So thank you so much for being on, and thank you for the work that you do.
Thanks for having you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.